Let's start by doing this. Everybody say morning glory. All right, one more time. Morning glory. It just gets the blood going. Is that true? Like, it just gets us moving a little bit. Let's everybody stand up this morning. Let's read scripture as the baskets get passed back. We're in this series, and I'm not sure if Dan and Brian, I'm going to share this in a little bit, but here's what's cool. At the very end of the sermon today, I was going to have a time for, and I didn't even tell them this. I said, I just feel urged that we need to pray for healing in this room. And then they did that. How awesome is that? And what's cool about it is this, is that in the midst of pain and hurt, God performs miracles. And we're in this series right now of just talking about God's miracles and God's provision. And there's two more weeks left. Today, we're going to talk about Peter's ear situation. And then next week, we're going to talk about raising Lazarus from the dead. Because I believe this with all my heart is because, just to give you a fair warning about next week, there's a lot of things in our life that seem like they're dead. Relationships, sometimes our heart, sometimes there's unforgiveness. And these things that we put them to the side and we say, God can't do anything with this because this is a dead situation. But I'm telling you, we serve a God who restores all things and brings things back to life. Is this true? And I think what's interesting is part of this series is I've been trying to get ourselves out of the mindset where miracles happen because of passion and desire for the Lord, not for us, but for the Lord, but obedience. And saying, listen, storms are going to come. How are you going to handle a storm? Like I said last week, if you're not in one, check the weather because there's probably one coming. And I'm not trying to be mean. I'm just saying we're all going to face storms. The question is, how are you going to handle it? And this is just a freebie, but I'm working on a sermon series right now, and I don't know how it's going to roll. But I was down here just about probably a month ago, and I was praying at the end of service. And the Lord really spoke to me and says, I felt strongly saying, respond. And I'm like, what does that mean? Respond. And I'm like, do you want the church to respond? Do you want me to respond? And it was kind of faded from there. And I went home, and that same day I got a phone conversation with our friends Natalia and Brandon from this Brainerd. And Brandon was telling me about his training that he wants to be, and he's in the medical field. And I said, what kind of training? He goes, oh, first responder. And I said, oh, explain that to me. Lord, just tell me about response. I want to know about your training. And here's what he said. He says, we are trained not to react, but to respond. I said, tell me, what does that mean? He goes, we are trained that in a crisis situation, we know our steps, we don't overreact, we go through what we need to do, we help bring the situation, we help control the environment of the emotions, but we come in, we are trained to work in accidents. We're not trained to react to accidents. We are trained to respond to problems. He goes, my whole training, he says, is to respond because to get ready for an accident because we know it's coming. How crazy is that? And I'm telling you, as Christians, we need to be less reacting, underreacting and overreacting because that's an emotional part. We need to be more responding to what God wants us to do moving forward. Is that making sense? And I believe that's what were the steps we're moving for. So here's what scripture says. It says, now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can all ask or imagine. Just think about it. All ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. Lord, I just pray for this church. I pray for your words today. Lord, help us to, Lord, be what you've called us to be, to step out, to believe in the things that you called us to step out into. Help us to trust you, to obey you, and to be what you've called us to be in Jesus' name. Amen. You can grab a seat. We're going to jump into this, and I just want to say this. As time goes on here, and I said this last year a little bit, but miracles point to something beyond ourselves. So your mess becomes your message, your test becomes your testimony, and some of the greatest testimonies in this room are the ones that you're living right now. The storms in your life become your greatest testimonies. The pain, your past, your story becomes your platform, and your past develops you. It doesn't define you. I'm just going to tell you kind of a gross story. Is that okay? Being a former youth pastor, I like to share some, like, just kind of growth stories every once in a while just to keep us awake here. So I was in college, and I had a friend named John and Jason, and they were both pretty ripped guys, you know, just pretty, like Shino, pretty ripped, pretty strong, right? And pretty buff dudes. And I remember one night we went to this gym, and they had some wrestling mats, and my friend John, this guy was massive. I'm talking about, like, he didn't even play football, but he was just massive. He could take a frying pan and roll it up with his hands. That's how crazy. He would take, like, full pop cans, like, unopened, and just squeeze them, and they'd just blow up. Isn't that crazy? Like, that's just, like, just squeeze them in his hands, and they'd blow up. He just, I mean, I don't know, Ken can probably do that. I could not do that. So it's crazy about, we have this friend who was, and so one night, we're at the same, and of course, me, not being that smart, I said, hey, guys, who can win? I mean, you're buff dudes. I'm always trying to get them to wrestle. I said, you guys wrestle, and I want to see who can win. And whoever wins, I'll buy him supper. And I'm, dude, one guy ripped off his shirt, and he's like, watch this. And I'm like, this is going to be epic. This is going to be awesome. So they get in this wrestling mat, and they're, like, going to town. And then all of a sudden, my friend Jason has my friend John in a headlock. And all of a sudden, he's on the ground, and John lifts him up and throws him. And as he does that, I hear John with this screeching little girl yell. He's just like, ah! And I'm like, what's going on? He goes, oh, my ear! My ear! And I'm like, oh, what? And I'm like, what's going on? And he's like, my ear! Something's wrong with it. And I'm just going to tell you a fact. It takes 8 pounds of pressure to rip off somebody's ear. Anybody know that? And so that's all I'm going to say about that point. And it wasn't fully detached, but it was enough that was hanging. So all that to say is we go to the doctor, and he wasn't even pain. He's a big dude. He's like, whatever, no big deal. Just sew it back on. He's literally, we would go to the doctor like this, and he's at the doctor, and all of a sudden they say, what's wrong? And he just lets go. And that was a funny thing. But so what's interesting is, and I know that sounds gross, but the reason I share this because I want to share the story of today, because when you see something like that, you're like, this is crazy. So I'm going to set the stage. We're going to talk about Jesus. His what he's doing is he's in the garden before he dies. And before the guards come to him, he tells his disciples, keep watch because I'm going to go pray in the garden. He knows at this time people are coming to kill him, or to capture him, because he's going to be put on on a cross soon. So he's praying in the garden, and as he's praying, he's wanting his disciples to keep watch. And so that's the stage, what's going on. So Jesus, this is like the day, like a few days around the betrayal, and Jesus is in the garden, and a religious mob come to arrest him. And then we capture this moment. As Jesus is there, his disciples come around him, and all of a sudden, the priests and the officials, the guards come and take capture of Jesus. And this is right before he goes sentenced and put on the cross. And here's what it says in Luke 22, 47 through 51. It says, while he was speaking, a crowd came up, and the man who was called Judas, one of the 12, was leading them. He was leading, so Judas, one of his disciples, was leading these guards to capture Jesus. He was the one telling them where Jesus was at. He approached Jesus to kiss him, but Jesus asked him, Judas, are you betraying the Son of Man with a kiss? When Jesus' followers saw that was going on, they said, Lord, should we strike with our swords? So they already asked a question. So here's his disciples, but ready to draw blood. And Jesus, they're asking, should we fight for you? And one of them struck a servant of the high priest and cutting off his right ear. But Jesus answered, no more of this, and touched a man's ear and healed him. So the it says in Scripture that the guard that had his ear cut off was named Malchus. And he's one of the high priest's guards. So this guy's like pretty high up. And here's Peter, this guy. Number one, he draws out a sword right away to all of a sudden protect Jesus. Now, and I know that's not the best thing to do, but don't we all have friends who just come to our aid when we need help? And, you know, sometimes they don't think about it. Just those are kind of good friends to have, though, right? Like, you need some goons, right, Jim? You just need some fighters in you every once in a while. It's good. Sometimes it's good. But here's the problem. Jesus already told, he already asked Jesus, and Jesus is like, he didn't say anything. So sometimes not saying something means don't do anything. Peter takes out his sword and literally lunges it at this official. My take is this. I don't think he was aiming for the guy's ear. That's a pretty good shot, right? The guy's probably ducking and probably weaving. He probably sees his sword coming in the dark. He probably lurches. The guy, Peter's probably going for his head, and he lunges and hits the guy's ear completely off. So the guy's ear falls on the ground. Here's Jesus. And then Jesus tells Peter, he rebukes Peter. He says, what are you doing? So think about this. Number one, Peter's packing. Like, he's not packing a suitcase, he's packing weapons. The disciples are ready to go. They are ready to go in a time of battle. These guys are ready to go. The next thing is this. Think about the steps. Step one, Peter attacks. Step two, ear flies off. Step three, I'm sure there's blood. And step four, Jesus rebukes Peter. And then Jesus heals him. Anybody else has impulse issues? Raise your hand. Like, just think about this. Like, you just overreact or underreact. Like I was just saying, like, you just have impulse issues. And so here's Peter overreacting, taking his own. Now, this is what you want to catch. He's taking his own theory out there. He's like, I don't know any other way to handle this situation, and I'm going to do this. I'm just going to do what comes naturally to me, which is to act like this. Seemed like natural thing to do, defend and protect. Peter did what we all tend to do when we get hurt and scared. He struck out in anger and confusion, hitting and hurting the high priest's servant. Just like us, think about this, just like us, when we are backs against the wall, we get hurt, we get angry, we think thoughts like, I'm going to hit back, I'm going to get even, make somebody pay, I'm going to hurt you the way you hurt me, eye for an eye. But instead of the reacting, Jesus is responding. He is not bringing more hurt and destruction. Instead, listen to this, Jesus is bringing healing. Because usually our reaction is, if I'm hurt, I'm going to bring hurt. If I'm in pain, I'm going to bring pain. If I'm going to give back what they've given to me. What Jesus is saying, if you come at me, I'm going to bring some healing. So what happened is, here all of a sudden, Jesus is not acting out of insecurity, but rather security in who he is and who his Father is. Catch this. In our society, a lot of us react out of insecurity, but Jesus is not acting out of insecurity. He's acting out of security. Jesus did what only the Son of God could do. He healed the one who came to hurt him. Jesus healed the guy who came to hurt him. So I've got a few points. Number one is this. There's three miracles that happen here. Number one miracle is this. Jesus healed the soldier. He rebuked Peter, he reaches down, and he literally, think about this, he reaches down and grabs the ear, and he puts it on a guy's head, and all of a sudden, poof, it's attached. Think about this. Just a few days later, he will be on trial, he's going to be on a cross. This is the last physical miracle that Jesus is performing when he's on earth. And he's not performing a miracle that when somebody, you know what I'm saying, that he's reaching out to a blind person or someone's trying to reach out to him. He's literally healing a person who tried to hurt and try to capture him. He's going out and touching his ear and healing his ear. And this doesn't just show God's power. This shows God's grace. So and it's the last healing that Jesus did. So number one, Jesus healed the physical healing, which is a big deal. Number two is this. Jesus touched him. And this is the most important point, one of the most important points, because this went way past comfort. Because here's what I wanted you to gravitate to this point for a second. Jesus touched the guy. We serve a God who does miracles. And one of the greatest miracles is, I want to share with you, is when there was a leper on the road in Scripture, here's what it says. When Jesus saw the leper, he reached out and touched the leper, and then he was healed. If you know anything about leprosy, my wife and I actually went to Hawaii, and there was an island called Molokai, and that's the largest concentration to this day is leprosy colonies. Because even though it's not totally eradicated, leprosy is still one of the most contagious diseases in the world. As by one touch, you have it. So you have to put them in one area so it doesn't spread everywhere. Isn't that crazy? That's a crazy thing. So you serve a God, we serve a God, it says in Scripture, that he first reached out and he touched the leper, and then the leper was healed. Catch this. He didn't heal him and then touch him. It says that he first touched him, and then the guy was healed. You serve a God who touched us even when we're not healed. So many people come to church and say, I want to have a church that says, you don't need to be like us to be part of us. You don't need to be perfect because I'm not perfect. I'm not healed. Jesus touches us where we are at. And he says, there has to be healing. He loves us where we're at, but he says, there's more for you. We serve a God who first touched a leper. You guys with me this morning? What's amazing about that is this. Then there's other miracles, like that lady with the blood issue, that when Jesus passed her, she did everything she could because she was just bleeding. She couldn't stop. She pushed past the crowd, and she said this, if only I can touch the hem of his garment, I will be healed. And it says that Jesus is walking with the disciples, and as he's walking, he felt like somebody touched him and the power leave. And he says, who touched me? And he looked back at her, and this little woman quivering says, I did. And he says, you are healed. He says, you reached out and touched me. You're healed. It's because of your faith that stepped out that brought healing. Here's what's crazy about it. Sometimes we need to reach out and touch the Lord, and sometimes the Lord touches us. I think so many times, you know what worship is? Worship is just saying, God, I just want to be close. I just want to touch. I just want to be in your presence, Lord, whatever it is. And sometimes when we need a healing, sometimes, listen, God reaches down and touches us. But sometimes, listen to this. Sometimes we need to move past the crowd. We need to move past the people. We need to move past our insecurities. We need to go past what we think is normal and natural. And we need to touch the Lord. You may say, how's that look? I'm just saying, sometimes the natural becomes supernatural when we go out of our comfort zone. So number one is this. Jesus actually did the healing. Number two is this. He went past the crowd. And sometimes he reached out and touches us, and sometimes we reach out and touch him. Number three is this. And here's the amazing point. I think what's interesting is, Peter, I'm going to show you something. Where's my sword at? There it is. I showed this a few years ago. Michael Mendez, are you here? You had a sweet picture of this a few years ago. Remember when I pulled this out? Can you imagine coming to church and you just pull this puppy out and you just wave it around? Isn't that awesome? It's steel, of course. You know what I'm saying? It's not very sharp. I probably can't even cut a potato with this thing. This is not, but it's pretty awesome. So think about Peter for a second. He pulls this out, cut a guy's ear off. So, well, that was really fast, wasn't it? I'm just kidding. He cuts a guy's ear off. And it's not like it's some Joe Schmo. Even if it was, it's problems. But this is one of the high priest's guards. So think about this. Best case scenario, Peter is thrown in prison. Right? Best case. They take away his sword. They take away his livelihood. And he's thrown in prison forever. Like, he's just not getting out. That's best case scenario. Worst case scenario, which scholars think would actually probably happen, is that Peter would actually be crucified or just killed, either on the spot or after trial, because you never, never lash out of a guard, especially the high priest's guard. So I'm telling you, here is out of impulse, he cuts off a guy's ear. And now I just want to fast forward you and throw you back. What does Jesus say about Peter? Jesus this whole time is talking about Peter, pouring into Peter, and he's actually telling Peter a prophecy about the future. And Jesus is telling Peter, "Peter, upon you, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not come against it." He's telling Peter, "You are the rock that I will build my church upon." He goes, everything, when Jesus left, when the book of Acts started, and the first church of Jesus Christ opened up, guess who was the lead person behind that? It was Peter. Peter was foundational with the whole movement moving forward. It was Peter who said, "You're going to build." So what would happen? All of a sudden, he cuts up the guy's ear, and there's a prophecy already out there about Peter, and Jesus says, "Oh, man." What I think about it is this. I think about my own life and saying how many mistakes I've made. How many things have I done? How many impulses have I acted upon? I'm telling you what, I never cut off somebody's ear. You know what I have done, though? I've hurt somebody's heart. You know what else I've done? I've said words I should have never said. You know what else I've done? I gossiped. I belittled. I think about these things. And how many times in the past 20, I'm only 28, guys, just so you know. No, just kidding. In the 28 years, have I made somebody feel small when God has called me to lift them up? How many times have I made myself bigger than I am to make somebody else feel smaller than they really are? How many times have God asked me to be an ear, not physical, but listen to somebody, and all I did is talk about my own stuff? It's interesting when I think about this, because I think about my own self, and I think of how many times in my life was I like Peter when I acted out of impulses, and I brought a lot of, listen, this is what's crazy about it. I brought a lot of pain and frustration, and I went against the calling that God has had for me, and God had to fix something in my life. Not only fix it, here's what's amazing about it. You think, this is not in my sermon, I'm going to tell you something. There is people, this is where the healing needs to take place in this room. There is people in this room that I really believe that God has spoken to, and God has given you words, and God has given you visions about your future, and God has said things, you're going to do this, and you're going to do this, and you've in your life, you said, I'm going to do it. But because of your mistakes or your decisions, and because of your impulses saying, that's never going to happen now. I believe in that brief second, Peter had that same thought. He says, oh man, the promises that the Lord had for me are now gone. I'm going to go to prison. I'm going to be killed. That was really dumb. Here's what's amazing. The sword comes out, and all of a sudden, Jesus reaches down. This is kind of funny. Jesus reaches down, picks up the ear, and puts it on the guy's head. Now, can you just imagine this conversation? Just play with me. Can you imagine this soldier is just crying in pain, saying, you idiot, you cut off my ear. You know what I'm saying? Take him to prison. And all of a sudden, Jesus says, no. You don't need to take him to prison. And the guards are saying, we got to take Peter with you because he cut off this guy's ear. And then Jesus is probably responding going, yeah, but show me the evidence. Check this out. Show me the evidence. And all of a sudden, a soldier's like, look at his ear, it's full of blood. There's blood, there's evidence everywhere. The ear was gone. And Jesus goes, yeah, but now it's healed. We're going to take him to court. What's your proof going to be? We're going to take you to court, and we're going to nail Peter. We're going to say he cut one of the high priest's guard's ear off. And he says, if you take him to court, the judge is going to laugh at you. Can you imagine? Bring Malchus on the court stand. Show us the ear. And he comes on the court stand and he says, look at what Jesus did. You know what the irony is? The evidence that they want to prove what Peter did was actually truly evidence of what God does. Think about this for a second. Jesus took Peter's mistake and made it an evidence for the Lord. Because if they take it to the court case, guess who wins that battle? Jesus does. You know why? Because all it's going to prove is the fact that our Savior does miracles in people's lives. All it's going to prove is the fact that whatever mistakes, now listen, there's some mistakes that can't be reversed, some of these mistakes, now listen, but God still has a hope and a promise, and God still has life where there's death in relationships, death in marriage, death in any situation. God will restore and bring to life if we lay it in Jesus' feet and lay it in Jesus' hand. Amen? What's amazing about this is God took evidence that would have been against Peter, and God made that evidence for the power of the Lord. You know what my hope is for you this morning? Hope. Miracles. That God still does today what he did 2,000 years ago. That in the midst of our mistakes, God brings healing. Can I just tell you this? And maybe it wasn't even your mistake. Maybe somebody else hurt you. Maybe somebody lashed out at you. But because of our defense ways, we want to hurt out, because hurt people hurt people. Now check this out. I believe with all my heart, if hurt people hurt people, then I believe healed people want to help heal people. Because when you have been restored and healed, you want to help that with somebody else. Amen? Everybody stand up this morning. We're going to close really fast here. I'm just going to read some scripture for you. And it says this. It says, God healed and took away the evidence. God healed and took away the guilt and the shame. 1 Corinthians 5:21 says this. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that we might become righteousness of God. And here's Romans 8:1-2. This is pretty awesome. It says this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit who gives life has set you free from the sins and death. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He has set you free from sin and death. He says, you be set free indeed. He heals and restores. Last week, our little daughter Charlie, we're playing outside, and we usually play outside. And yeah, keep this picture up, Doug. I'll leave it up for altar. We're outside playing, and I don't know how it happened, but she fell off a kind of a step and she tripped and she skinned up her knee pretty well. And I'm not sure if you have kids and 4 and 5 and 6 and 7 year old, like a little scar is like major surgery in our house. Like we got to bandage it up and we got to put cast on it. And it literally, like, you can't even put clothes on because we don't want nothing to touch it. And I won't ever forget, you know, Jane's washing her up, and this, seriously, I guess it was a cut, and there's like this giant bandage on it, and she's like, don't touch it! And I can hear my wife saying, listen, we got to put peroxide on it, we got to put stuff on it, because it needs to be healed. Like, literally, like, for me to heal it, we need to touch it. We need to work it. We need to put stuff on it. Like, if we just let it be, there's going to be dirt in it. It's going to become, you know what I'm saying, there's going to be junk in it. We got to get the junk out. We got to get that stuff out, because if we don't deal with it, it's going to become worse. And I remember her saying out loud, let me touch it, let me heal, let's get this better. And just think about the parallel in our own life. Literally, some of us have wounds that have been there for years. Seriously, it just hurts. I deal with people who are going through divorce, and that is just the kids and the parents, and just that wounds. We deal with people who, just talking to somebody who doesn't even know their father. Their father left them at 2 years old. I said, are you mad at your dad? I never knew my dad. But just in that tone of the voice, you're like, there's just that hurt and that. There's a gap there. Maybe for you, it's just you had somebody in your life who just kept calling you fat or dumb or worthless. Maybe you were a baby that was not planned. And as a joke, your parents have told you since you were a kid, oh, you were not planned. You might think that's kind of funny, but listen, that's a lie. You know why that's a lie? Maybe they didn't plan you, but it says in Scripture, before you were even born, I knew your name. Here's what's crazy. Sometimes we hurt people, and sometimes they hurt us. But it's the Lord, Jesus Christ, is the one who restores and the one that saves, one that delivers, and he's the one who needs to touch our wounds. Listen, we all, including me, we need to get better. The hope in Jesus Christ, the good news is God can restore even our mistakes. God can restore these things. Everybody close your eyes, bow your head. Just imagine yourself with a sword and being Peter and the impulses. I'm just going to ask you a few questions. Just close your heads. Everybody just make this an attitude of worship. Just want you to ask yourself a few questions to yourself. How have you hurt somebody else? How in your own life have you brought somebody else down? Is there an attitude? Or how have you made somebody feel small? How have you in the past week or month or years, and it might be a kid, it might be a daughter, it might be a son, it might be a neighbor, it might be a coworker, but how have we, out of impulses, just put up walls and put hurts? Now think about this. Next question is this. How have you felt that way? In your own life, what is those wounds that you have within you in your own heart that you don't want Jesus? Now listen, you don't want Jesus to touch those things. They become so normal to you that you just live with this pain and live with this thing, and you don't want to surrender this because you're just saying, I don't know, if I really give this to the Lord, if I really surrender, if I really forgive, and I allow the Lord Jesus to touch us, I don't know the end game. I don't know what's going to happen. And this has been something I've just dealt with. It's become somebody I am. And the Lord is saying, I want to heal you. No one's looking around this morning. So either way, you're saying, I need to touch the Lord and reach out, or I need the Lord to touch me and reach in. No one's looking around. But if you're here this morning, just by a show of hands, just by you reaching out to the Lord, you're saying, I need the Lord to do miracles in my own life. I need the Lord to do miracles. I need to reach out to the Lord. I need him to reach in. And there is wounds in my heart. There's stuff in my life I need him to heal. Just raise your hands. Don't be afraid. Let's just be honest this morning. There's just stuff in my... Just keep your hands up. Begin to pray. Begin to just pray the Lord. It's just saying, God, help me with these things. Show me these things. What are these things I need to deal with? Keep your hands up. Listen, I'm going to give you the promise. The promise of the Lord is this. He says to Peter, I will build my church upon you. He didn't allow the mistakes to get in the way of the promise. God still has a purpose and a destiny for your life. God still has great things, but allow him to heal these things. Just put your hands down. If you're here this morning and you want to ask the Lord in Christ in your life, you're just saying, I need to surrender my heart to the Lord and just make him Lord of my life. If that's you, I just want you to raise your hand. Don't be afraid. It might be the first time. You might have done it before. It's awesome. It's awesome. Everybody repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I surrender my life to you. Forgive me my sins. Help me to follow you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Everybody look up here. Hurt people will always hurt people, but heal people will always try to bring healing. You cannot give, listen, you cannot give what you don't have. If you're coming into a situation and you're trying to bring peace in a situation and you don't have peace, it's hard to give something you don't have. If you don't have the joy, it's hard to give that. It's hard to bring healing if you're not allowing the Lord to heal you. And this is why I believe church is so important, because we come as a body, very open, very honest, and we don't say church is a museum, we say church is a hospital for the healing, the broken, the needy, because we in our lives need that, amen? And as we get back into worship this morning, listen, serve a God who takes our mistakes and makes them into miracles. Serve a God, worship a God this morning. And some of you are going to come down, and maybe it's almost like a visual. Maybe you're coming down the altar, and you're laying down that sword. And maybe you're just laying that down, saying, God, what I've used in my hands are mistakes. I'm laying that down. Maybe it's laying down your tongue because you just lash out. Maybe it's laying down those saints. But maybe it's in your spot you're sitting. But listen, I believe we need to lay this stuff and let God do that healing. Amen? So let's just go into worship this morning.